Today we're in part five, walking right with God. Galatians 3. We're moving into the halfway point, and so we're starting chapter five or part five in chapter 3 today. Now the Apostle Paul, remember, is writing this letter to the Galatians, and for a couple of reasons. But one of the main reasons is to turn the people away from some influences, some bad influences, and some bad theology that they are getting. You need to understand influence in your life and theology in your life affects the way you live. If your theology is wrong, you live wrong. If your influences around you are wrong, you live wrong. So the issue is raised in Galatians 3 is really one that will relate to all of us today. But we have to start with the premise of we know that we're saved by grace, right? Through faith. That's how we're saved. And God wants us, though, not to only just simply profess faith, but God wants us to live in faith. You understand that. God desires a relationship with us. But it raises a question. What do I need to do to live like a child of God? Would everybody read that with me? Ready? What do I need to do to live like a child of God? One more time, everybody. What? Great question. Thank you for bringing it up. I've been waiting for you to ask that question. Really, in other words, how do we grow? How do we go to the next place? How do we get to the point, think about it for a moment, that we actually start to live a righteous life? How many would like to live a righteous life? I mean, right in everything you do. How am I going to do this walking right with God? Well, the bottom line is your theology has to be firm and sound, and let your theology now influence the way you practice your walk in this world. Let's go to our text today, Galatians chapter 3. I'm going to look at 14 verses today, but I'm going to start with the first five. O foolish Galatians, who has cast an evil spell on you? Basically, who has confused you about your theology? Because remember, it's a whole letter. So if you are a little lost today, you can back up, you can get the messages online, or you go back and read through Galatians as you step into this chapter. He goes on to say, Paul does, for the meaning of Jesus Christ's death was made as clear to you as if you had seen a picture of his death on the cross. Let me ask you this one question. Did you receive the Holy Spirit by obeying the law of Moses? Of course not. You received the Spirit because you believed the message you heard about Christ. Church, when you put your faith in Christ, He put His Holy Spirit in you. His Holy Spirit began to take residence in you, not because you followed a law, not because you achieved some high-ranking position, but because you believed, He put His Holy Spirit in you. Verse 3, how foolish can you be after starting your new lives in the Spirit? Why are you now trying to become perfect by your own human effort? Have you experienced so much for nothing? Surely it was not in vain, was it? I ask you again, does God give you the Holy Spirit and work miracles among you because you obey the law? Of course not. It is because you believe the message you heard about Christ. Heavenly Father, continue to teach us today. Help us understand this living by faith and learning how to walk in righteousness. In Jesus' name, grow us. Amen. Now, understand the gospel, the good news, starts really as an announcement. That's how it starts. It's an announcement actually of historical events. For instance, this is the good news. Jesus Christ was crucified and was raised from the dead 3 days later. That's the gospel. That's the truth of what happened for you. And that's the truth that we share with people before we ever try to give instructions about how to walk the life of Christ. All of a sudden, I would just put rules and regulations before you just hear the gospel. Before you can really live a Christian life, you have to see the picture of Jesus' death on the cross before you. In other words, you need to understand that you're made right with God through the work of Christ on the cross for you and for me. And then once we embrace that fact, that good news, by faith, He sheds His grace into our hearts and puts His Holy Spirit in us. And now we can move on to the question of, how do I live as a believer now? The question is raised in verse 3 that we read. Paul, once again, after starting your new lives in the Spirit, why are you now trying to become perfect by your own human effort? You got saved by faith, but now you're going to try to grow and become perfect by adhering to disciplines and to diligence to a law or to rules. Paul is saying that is faulty theology. He says we're saved by trusting Christ, and now we have to continue to grow in Christ with the same kind of faith. Church, it is not about your ability. It is about drawing close to God and then trusting the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. So the key to growing is finding our source of life and our source of strength in the Lord. In fact, you'll really begin to grow when you depend on God and God alone for all that you need and all that you are. Not just coming in, but who you're going to want to be. We grow by faith in Christ and not by performance. I'll talk about that later. Paul looks at the life of Abraham, and he's going to illustrate this in the next verses. And here it is in verse 6. In the same way, now, you got saved, you're walking by faith now. In the same way, Abraham believed God, and God counted him as righteous because of his what? Faith. The real children of Abraham, then, are those who put their faith in God. Once more, the scriptures looked forward to this time when God would make the Gentiles right in His sight because of their faith. God proclaimed this good news to Abraham long ago when He said, "All nations will be blessed through you." So all who put their faith in Christ share the same blessing Abraham received because of his faith. Are you hearing a key theme here? Faith. But those who depend on the law to make them right with God are under His curse. For the scriptures say, cursed is everyone who does not observe and obey all the commands that are written in God's book of the law. So it is clear, Paul is saying, so it is clear that no one can be made right with God by trying to keep the law. Why? Church, none of us have ever kept the whole law. We've all sinned. We have all fallen short of the standard, to the law of God, to the glory. We do not represent Him because we can't keep it. But we can be made right with God. Paul continues, for the scriptures say it is through faith that a righteous person has life. This way of faith is very different from the way of law, which says it is through obeying the law that a person has life. But Christ has rescued us from the curse pronounced by the law when He was hung on the cross. He took upon Himself the curse for our wrongdoing. For it is written in the scriptures, cursed is everyone who is hung on a tree. Through Christ Jesus, God has blessed the Gentiles with the same blessing He promised to Abraham, so that we who are believers might receive the promised Holy Spirit through faith. In this passage, when God said he counted Abraham as righteous, in other translations it says reckoned or credited is how it's translated. The word counted is an accounting term in finance. For instance, let's say that someone intentionally transfers a lot of money into my account. My account number is 555, okay. If money, though, got transferred from somewhere else into my account, who does that money belong to? I did nothing. The money is in my account, and the account is in my name, and therefore I'm the recipient of it, and the money is mine. Now listen, Paul does not say Abraham became righteous. He was declared righteous. It was counted to him. It wasn't what Abraham did, it was what God did. Listen to it again. Abraham believed God, and God counted him to accredited his account as righteous because of his faith. Church, this is what happens to us when we put our faith in Jesus. His goodness, everything he was good, and all his righteousness is transferred to our account, and our sin, our bondage, our brokenness is placed on his ledger at the cross. And because of faith, we are now made right in God's sight. Now, just an additional thought for you this morning. In Romans 4, if you want to kind of go back, Romans is a great book to read to understand the law and why it was given. And we're going to talk a little bit about that next week. But in Romans 4, Paul points out that even though Abraham was the first to be circumcised, in this whole line of Jewish believers, he was the first one, and then his household, and then his workers, and they started this Jewish nation. But did you know that happened after he was declared righteous? In other words, the circumcision was not required for Abraham to be made right with God. Abraham was right with God because God counted him righteous because of his faith. So let me get back to the question now I raised earlier. Once we're saved, once we're believers, how do we grow? How do we walk that Christ life out? Paul says, you grow the same way you were made right with God. You do it by trusting him, by continuing to have faith in God. Now, what that means is this. We must learn to trust God's word and the guidance of his Holy Spirit more than we trust our own instinct, more than we trust our own plans, and more than you trust your own spiritual disciplines. I've got to trust God's agenda and not my own. Church, we have to stop making everything about us and put our focus on him. There are two wrong paths that people take sometimes in response to God's grace. The first path is the road to reckless living. Reckless living people conclude that since I'm made right with God, I can do anything I want and still end up in heaven. They say, well, God's going to forgive me, so it doesn't matter what I do or how I live. Church, that is wrong theology. The person who feels, oh, I can live any way I want, does not really understand the true gospel, the good news that changes us. In living that way of saying, I can do whatever I want, you are actually mocking the gospel. In essence, you're saying, God will save me because he wants a relationship with me. And he wants to walk with me. So I'm going to do whatever I want. But let me ask you, you tell me, does that really sound like someone who has surrendered to Christ as their Lord and Savior? Absolutely not. It's a mockery of God's grace to do whatever you want. because he has given us his word. God just did not want to save us from hell. God wanted to save us for spirit living. He wanted to save you for abundant life. He wanted to save you for a relationship. The second wrong road, though, that people take is responding to God's grace is performing. Living kind of like the rabbis did or like the Pharisees did, setting up all kinds of rules and regulations for people to follow, really only to make yourself look better to others. And people still try to do that today. And this may be well-intentioned. You know, this is the right way to do things, but even though it's well-intentioned, it's wrong. Because when you start setting up all of that for everybody else, you are adding to the gospel. And it can quickly become all about works. Because you got to do that. You got to do that. And the problem is that we begin to make it about our ability and our performance and not about the Lord's work and his Holy Spirit's guidance in my life. We grow in Christ when we are more concerned with our relationship with Christ than with our performance for Christ. Did you catch that? We grow in Christ when we're more concerned with our relationship with Christ than with our performance for Christ. Church, relationship is the key. We grow when we stop looking at us and we start constantly looking to him. That's when you start to grow. That is what the sacrifice of Isaac was all about in Genesis chapter 22. How many remember the story of Abraham and Isaac and the mountain? You remember that? God told Abraham, I need you to take your son. I know it's the son I promised to you, but I want you to take him up on the mountain, and I want you to sacrifice your son to me. And Abraham does exactly what the Lord tells him to do. But God stops Abraham just before he kills his son. Church, you need to understand, this is not so much about Abraham proving his faith. It is about Abraham living out his faith. Abraham trusted the command of the Lord more than his own reasoning. Church, this does not make any sense. It didn't make any sense to Abraham. It's not something a rational person would do. But Abraham trusted God over his own reasoning. He trusted that the Lord knew enough and believed somehow all of this was going to make sense. Church, to grow in Christ means we continually trust the Lord, the one who saved us by grace. Now we build a relationship with him through grace. Here's what that practically means for us. Things like this. Why don't you trust that God will give us what we need? If you need something, God will provide it. God will provide it. So we've got to learn to live content and quit measuring yourselves by what others possess. Quit doing that. Live content. God knows what you have need of. How about this? Trust that God will lead us where we need to go. Church, you don't have to follow everybody else. Just go where God leads you. How about treating others in a way that God commands with love and forgiveness? Somehow we've got to quit worrying about what seems fair and equal and just do what God has told us to do. And leave vengeance to the Lord. In other words, instead of stewing over all your hurts in the past, leave them with the Lord. Cast all your cares upon the Lord. He cares for you. Abandon the desire to get even or to get revenge. Choose a life of peace. Another thought, read God's word and listen for his correction and instruction. There's a lot of people who want to be instructed but don't want to be corrected. But God wants to correct our lives in relationship. And even if what you read in his word seems contrary to what you might think, you need to respond still to what his word instructs. And learn to find your greatest delight and pleasure in the Lord and not in what the world has to offer. Basically, you've got to come to a place where you learn to say, as long as I have the Lord, I have everything I need. Can you get there? We see this kind of heart in a man named Asaph, the mentality and thinking and heart at the end of Psalm 73. Asaph, in this song, he's been comparing his life to everybody else around him. And he kind of is getting flustered and frustrated by it. Let me read a portion of it to you. Psalm 73. The first three verses say, truly God is good to Israel, to those whose hearts are pure. But as for me, I almost lost my footing. My feet were slipping, and I was almost gone. For I envied the proud when I saw them prosper despite their wickedness. But down in verse 21, after he's done all this comparison, he finally has an honest conversation with God. And here's what he says. Then I realized that my heart was bitter. And I was torn up, all torn up inside. I was so foolish and ignorant. I must have seemed like a senseless animal to you. Yet, I still belong to you. You hold my right hand. You guide me with your counsel, leading me to a glorious destiny. Whom have I in heaven but you? I desire you more than anything on earth. My health may fail, my spirit may grow weak, but God remains the strength of my heart. He is mine forever. You see what Asaph has to do? He reminds himself that when you're right with God, you have everything you need. He saw everything everybody else was getting. And if we're not careful, we try to get it by ability instead of just trusting the Lord. If we could only experience the peace that God really wants to offer to us, then you'll stop performing and you'll start just doing what he tells you to do. It comes down really to a basic question. Do you trust God? Do you trust God? It's not about us working harder. It's not about what I can do. It's about me surrendering to his lordship more completely and then building a relationship with him. When you learn to give it all to Jesus, then you'll begin to learn what it really means to walk by faith and not by sight. You remember Peter when he was trying to walk on the water? He did fine as long as he kept his eyes focused on who? On Jesus. As soon as he looked at the waves, the Bible says he began to sink. If you stop looking at and relying on Jesus, church, I can tell you, if you don't keep your faith in him, you will sink. Church, as believers, this is sad, but we tend to measure each other by performance. As a result, though, our faith then becomes a performance rather than a relationship. Did you know God has not called us to perform for him? He's called us to walk with him. You think you came to church and you got a gold star in heaven today because you performed an act for him? Or did you walk in here because you're walking with him? And I'm going to show up and not forsake the assembly of myself together with others. See, it's having the right heart and attitude. As we learn to live every day by faith, we will grow. And it's by faith that we want to be walking right with God. We want to be this righteous person. And I trust that as each day passes, you're going to look a little more like Jesus than you did the day before. James, would you come, worship team, and join me? I've been working really hard, and maybe you don't understand this, but to really shorten these messages, to be very succinct and to the point. Because I really need the Holy Spirit to work in you. If you showed up at church today to look at me perform for you and to bring you some spectacular word that's life-altering, you have missed why you came. Because I didn't come to perform for you today. I came to deliver the very word of God so that the Holy Spirit could speak to you. I hope that you walked into this place saying, Holy Spirit, speak to me today. Sometimes he does it in worship, sometimes through announcements, sometimes even an offering, sometimes in the message. The question is, did you show up for performance or did you show up for your relationship? I want you to keep growing. But if we move into performance church, then we're going to miss something that God really has for us. As we keep walking through Galatians, we're going to get to this place where there's stuff we have to deal with, but it's now by the Spirit, not by the law. I got saved, I understand, I'm forgiven, but now I understand that he put his Spirit in me for living and for relationship. Not just all of a sudden, I'm saved, so I got to do all these things. I got to show up at church. I got to go to a discipleship class. I guess I need to go do a little work at somebody else's house so I can look good. So you can perform? Absolutely not, church. We've stepped into this place today because we believe where two or three are gathered in his name, he is there. And when he shows up, he begins to speak to his people. And he begins to guide our lives. And he does so together as well as individually. Because when you step out of here, you're stepping into your personal world where God wants to show up because you carry him in relationship. Otherwise, you go to work and I'm performing like a Christian. Oh, here's my Bible. Did you see it? Or did you bring your Bible so you could absorb and go deeper? As I read, my heart got bitter. God, guard my heart from becoming bitter. Because did you catch what Asaph said in the very first verse? He says this, truly God's good to Israel, to those whose hearts are pure. So church, I challenge us. We have got to move from performance to relationship. There are hurts in your past that somewhere you've got to give them up, or they drive you to only perform or to walk away from God. And the idea is to walk with him. Walk with him. You've got to give them up. You've got to surrender. Because God's got so much more for you. He has so many more things he wants to do in your life than just save you. Thank the Lord I'm saved. But he has purpose for today and tomorrow in relationship. This morning, I'm going to have James sing again this song. There is power in the name of Jesus. And he breaks chains. He breaks bondages. And if you're in a bondage of performance, let it be broken today. No longer you have to live up to rules and regulations, but as we keep growing, you're going to find out how we live. We live by the Spirit because I'm in a relationship with God. I'm going to heaven not to be on vacation. I'm going to heaven because I'm his child. And he is preparing a place for his children because he wants them to abide with him forever. So why don't I start the forever now? See the relationship? But God's got to break off things in our life that have held us back from really moving forward in the life of the Spirit and what He's called the church to be. As we lift this song, don't let it just be words and music, but there's power in the name of Jesus. The Bible tells us that the name of Jesus, the demons tremble and they flee. Jesus, Jesus, because I don't want them here today. I don't want them in your life. I want the enemy to be gone so you can have that relationship that God desires. So His Holy Spirit moves in and takes full control because the kingdom belongs to Him now. I don't put them in a closet. I don't let them just into the living room. I let them into the whole kingdom and the courtyard. Everything is His. But you have to break things in your life if you're going to walk that way. Many of you said, I want to walk righteous. Wouldn't that just be really marvelous this week that not one filthy word would pop out of your mouth? Not one filthy thought would lead to an action? You said, well, boy, if you could get rid of my filthy thoughts, let me help you. The Bible says, take it captive. Every thought. Oh, that was a good thought. Take it captive, though. And still make the good thoughts subject to Christ to make sure you're not foolish and you've deceived yourself. And every evil thought, capture it. Say, does this line up with God's word? Absolutely not. Thought, be gone. Because I'm living by the Spirit. So church, it's going to be your choice to allow life to really come into you. I'm free, I'm free. Are you? Or are you caught by bondages? This morning, I can't do a thing for you. But I'm telling you, our God in heaven, by His Holy Spirit, can take control today of your eternity and your destiny for the time you're here on earth, if you'll allow Him. But just your surrender. It's your walk. I'll be honest with you. It's hard for me to go any further, or you to go any further into Galatians if you don't get this point. I'm saved by grace, but now I'm going to live by grace. Not so I can go do what I want to do, and not because I'm following rules, but I have the Holy Spirit in me. And we'll get to some thoughts about that infilling of the Holy Spirit, because I want you full. I don't want you just container for, I want you full of, because it will change what this church does in its future. We can maintain and we can fight the battle day after day. Lord, I'm still not good enough. Or I can say, I'm hidden in your righteousness and I will grow. I will grow. How do we walk as believers? The same way we got saved, by faith. Amen? So I'm going to pray for you. We're going to lift this song. I'm going to let the Holy Spirit do what He needs to do. Listen, many times I've come to an altar like this. Like we did this morning, we built an altar of remembrance. Somewhere, sometimes you have to build an altar and say, I remember it was in that spot, at that moment, on that Sunday, I changed. Because I got my thinking right. And I let the influences of the world go. Because I know in whom I have believed. And I'm persuaded that He is able to keep me until that day. See, that's the Paul thinking. And we've got to get there. Are you ready?